Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. It's also game day. Indiana back in action tonight. Another early season game. Indiana will take on North Alabama, a program that I think you could describe a lot like Bellarmine. I'm not sure that in Division II they were as good as Bellarmine. I know they did have some good teams, but consistently good like the Bellarmine program is, I can't answer that. But they are a team transitioning to Division I basketball. So now a member of D1, have been a member of D1 for I think at least a season, but not yet eligible for the NCAA tournament. So this is one of those games again. Indiana should make easy work of North Alabama. Indiana should continue to experiment with lineups and players and get guys healthy, newcomers, incoming players that haven't been with the team before, new roles for guys that are back this year. Those are all things you expect and hope to see worked on and improved tonight. And, of course, I think after the game Saturday against Portland State, which was a win but more of a closer win than probably what you would like to see, the focus may be on defense. Archie Miller spent a lot of time talking about defense after the IU win on Saturday in his press conference. He talked more about defense on the coaches show. We have that each Monday here on the Big X, Monday evenings at 7 o'clock. He spent some time last night talking about defense and how important that part of the game is going to be for success this season with the Hoosiers. So as you watch the game tonight, I think we are starting to get a understanding of what this roster could look like. Obviously, Devontae Green, I believe, will still be out tonight. There's still lots of things that will change, you would hope improve with the roster and some of the rotations. But one of the things that's clear, if this Indiana team is going to best some of the preseason expectations, defense against a Portland State-level team simply has to be better. It doesn't matter how fast they run up and down the floor or how much they like to press and trap and pressure the ball and play pressure defense to turn you over. On the other end, Indiana's defense has to be a lot better. So tonight we'll see against another mid- to low-level Division I team a lot like this month. Great opportunities for improvement, great opportunities for learning experiences, because defensively, how Indiana has played, specifically Saturday, there could be some ugly moments. And Archie Miller basically said that after the game Saturday. When you get into the month of December and you look at what's ahead for this Indiana team as far as non-conference games go and as far as obviously two early Big Ten conference games that'll take place in December as well. Let's get into the show today. The Hoosier Report brought to you each day by CC Power Sports. Let's look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we always open with our Zaxby's headlines, the top Southern Indiana and IU sports news each day. And today we're going to look a little bit more in our headlines at North Alabama. What type of team, what type of challenge, what will be their focus players tonight against Indiana. We'll also give you some notes from Archie Miller's radio show last night, which again is each Monday here on the Big X. We'll talk about some interesting early season Big Ten results and scores. There have been some games to watch, some Big Ten teams that are ahead of Indiana, at least in the preseason, have lost some home games that you would not expect them to lose. And Iowa was victim to that last night. They not only lost, but they got blown out. We'll chat about that for a moment. I want to give some props in our headlines today to some college basketball players with ties to the area, including Sean East, who are having some great years. And in Sean's case, a great start to his college career. We'll talk about that here in just a few moments. And also all the details on our 2019-2020 high school basketball media day for all the coaches, all the top players and the teams in Clark and Floyd counties. We'll be gathering on Thursday night at Zaxby's in New Albany, and we're going to tell you more about that coming up here in just a few moments. Segment two, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us. Greg, each week is presented by Coffee Crossing, and with Greg, we'll talk IU hoops, a little IU football, and more today when he joins the program. And later, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com joins the program. Got to get an update on Dawson Garcia, and I don't know that there has been much of an update since his visit to Marquette over the weekend, although the general thought is there that he is going to discuss his options this week, next week, and potentially make a decision soon. Whether that comes very soon or a couple weeks from now or even longer, I don't know, but we'll talk with Mike and see what the word is. And again, Dawson Garcia, as this season gets underway and as we watch this team move forward and get into some bigger games coming up, talking about recruiting, there's plenty of activity with Indiana and younger guys, but that is the big storyline recruiting-wise for the 2020 class. Guys that are going to be freshmen this time next year will be at Indiana, and likely a player like Dawson Garcia have an opportunity to contribute at Indiana as a freshman, and probably anywhere he goes as a freshman. So we're tracking that recruiting closely. It's the last big name of the 2020 class. We'll talk some about with Mike Pegram about that. We'll talk about North Alabama tonight. We'll talk about IU's defensive woes and what has to happen there and more when he joins us a little bit later in the show. That is the show lineup at service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch that'll be made to order for you. Let's remind you as well as we move in to the show that love to get your questions, your comments. If you've got a question for one of our guests today, if you've got a comment about the Hoosiers and their defense, a comment about the game tonight, you can get it to me two different ways. On Twitter, you can tweet me at Hoosier Hills or send me a direct message on Twitter. And you can also follow the show on Facebook. Just type in the Hoosier Report. You can click like. You can send us a message there, and perhaps your question or comment will get read on the air today. Let's look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. North Alabama, what type of challenge will they be for this Indiana team tonight? I mentioned at the top of the show, they are a lot like Bellarmine. They were a strong Division II program. They have already begun, obviously, the transition to Division I. They are not yet eligible for the tournament. They are in the Atlantic Sun Conference, which, again, Bellarmine will very soon be a member of. And last year, they did have they did not, as a team, have a good season, but they did have a key player named Jamari Blackman that we're going to talk about in a moment that actually was A-Sun, freshman of the year. And so that obviously means maybe some brighter days ahead for them. They are a very fast, a very athletic playing team, maybe some similarities to Portland State if you listen to Archie Miller describe North Alabama last night on his coach's show. And, of course, from an IU perspective tonight, each game we've kind of talked about the opportunity for different players to get minutes, maybe get a different role than what they will get later in the season. And those were all interesting things to watch. None of that changes tonight, but I think we do have to be very aware that defense with this team, even against a lackluster North Alabama team, and I'm going to tell you how lackluster they were last season offensively here in just a second, but even defense against a team like this, this is where you build a foundation. It doesn't matter if it's a Big Ten team or a low-level Division I team that just coming into Division I, not yet eligible for the tournament. You've got to play defense at a very solid level to find success as this season moves on, especially if Indiana has hopes to best some of the preseason projections in the conference and in their win total that just quite honestly won't get them to the NCAA tournament if that's where they're going to be. Obviously, defense tonight going to be huge to watch for this team. I mentioned Jamari Blackman, a sophomore guard who led the team last year and is expected to lead them again this season. That's probably the individual name that you will hear the most in the contest tonight. And, excuse me, one of the worst offensive teams in Division I basketball last season was North Alabama. They ranked 342nd in 2 and 3-point shooting. That's according to the KenPom ratings. And again, tonight, even though the focus needs to be on defense for this Indiana team, when Indiana's defense maybe looks a little better because North Alabama's shots aren't falling, remember that we told you today that they were 342nd in the nation last year in 2 and 3-point shooting. So again, this probably isn't the best gauge to see if there's any defensive improvement from last game, from earlier this season from Indiana. But again, it's something that Indiana has to focus on no matter who the opponent is, no matter how big of a game it is or isn't. Defense, clearly, and Archie Miller has been very, very clear in stating this, is going to be a huge part to this team's success if they're going to find it this year. North Alabama lost their last game out by 22 points at Alabama. And for those of you wondering, finally, the game is on Big Ten Network on somewhat regular television. You don't have to connect your computer or try to mirror the stream or whatever to your TV. A lot easier and a lot better quality broadcast tonight. But the tip-off's at 7. We'll have pregame coverage here at 6 o'clock with Don Fisher on the Big X. The pregame show on the IU Network is always a great way. You get to hear from Archie Miller. You get the starting lineup. Often you get injury notes and things as well that may not be out there. So if you can't find it on TV, make sure you tune in tonight with Don Fisher starting at 6 o'clock with pregame tip-off at 7 o'clock. A couple other things in our headline segment. Archie Miller radio show last night. Again, lots of talk about defense. Lots of talk about this team being more aggressive and more locked in on defense. And he's very clear that they've got 3 weeks or so to figure this out before the level of competition greatly, greatly changes in a very tough way for this Indiana team. That was one of the big topics last night on the Archie Miller show. Also, Coach Miller spoke some about Rob Phinisee, and it's clear by his minutes, and I think by just watching him, that he still is very much in the recovery process from a lower abdominal injury. Archie Miller talked last night about the fact that he hasn't practiced a lot, especially compared to the minutes, and they haven't been great minutes, but compared to the minutes he's logged for Indiana in their first two regular season games. I think Rob Phinisee is obviously a good point guard and is going to be a great four-year player for this Indiana program, and there's plenty of reason to be excited about him based on moments he had during his freshman year. But I've also thought that Rob is a good defensive player as well, so I think you would think that when Rob Phinisee is back and healthy and playing more minutes and obviously doesn't have the pain or the constant feeling of an abdominal strain or a uncomfortable feel there, that he's going to be a better defensive player for this Indiana team, especially as they get out of the month of November and into some big games. And I thought this was interesting as well. We always, with this Indiana team going back many years, have talked about turnovers and what is the magic number the chance of a win starts to go down when Indiana reaches that number. Archie Miller last night said they've coined 12 as the magic number for turnovers. They obviously aim to go under 12 turnovers each game, but that is kind of a goal, a number for this team, and we'll watch that moving forward. Indiana has had okay turnover numbers so far, but historically, at least in the time, 4 or 5 years that I've been doing this show, we've just been absolutely floored at times by the number of turnovers this team produces, this team has, and how that has affected them in some really big situations in the season. So why not start paying attention to turnovers even early on against a team like North Alabama? Next headline, just a quick one. Iowa loses last night at home to DePaul, 93-78, the final score. There have been some interesting losses at home. Nebraska has lost at home. Michigan had a close call at home. I guess you could even say Indiana, their 11-point win is fairly close, but not down into single digits or low single digits. I think I'm missing one or two. There have been some very odd and interesting Big Ten Conference scores, which make me wonder, outside of the maybe top couple teams that are projected in the conference this year, what will the Big Ten Conference be like? And I tell you, seeing Iowa lose by that many points to a team like DePaul that maybe they're projected to have a mediocre season, I don't know, but 93-78 on your home court, Iowa loses last night. Quick shout-out to Sean East, the former New Albany standout. has earned a starting spot for UMass. They won 62-60 over Fairfield a few nights ago. East played 36 minutes. He had 14 points, back-to-back games now with double figures for Sean East. On top of the 14 points, he had 7 assists and 5 rebounds as well. They're back at it tonight as they take on Northeastern in a Tuesday night game. One final headline to mention before we head to a break and get to Greg Doyle. High school basketball media day is set. It is always a fun way to start the season, and there's anything different about that this year. In fact, I might even be more excited to hear from some of our coaches and some of our players in the area that have obviously big potential and are getting lots of college interest. Thursday night, 6 to 9, it's a 3-hour marathon-like show is the best way I know to describe it. We're going to do it live, as always, out at Zaxby's. This time we'll be at Zaxby's in New Albany, located at 2870 Technology Avenue. It's right off of I-265 on Charlestown Road, back in by Purdue. We'll start at 6 o'clock. We'll preview the area. Our first team up at 6:10 is Silver Creek. Then we have Rock Creek, Providence, New Albany, Christian Academy, Borden, Floyd Central, New Washington, Henryville, Charlestown, Clarksville, and we'll wrap up with Jeffersonville as we get near the 9 o'clock hour on Thursday of this week. We'd love to have you come out and join us live for a studio audience. We'll have all sorts of coaches. Other media will be there conducting interviews as well. And if you can't make it, we'll have it live on the Big X. And if you can't be available Thursday night because of other things to listen, we'll have a full podcast where you can go back and hear every coach in the area. And each coach is going to bring their top handful of players with them. So we'll get to hear not only from the coaches, but the players as well. I very, very much look forward to being out at Zaxby's in New Albany on Thursday. Those are the Zaxby's headlines. Zaxby's, home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing, IU basketball, IU football, and more with Greg in the next segment. This is the Hoosier Report, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, the Hoosier Report, presented each week by CC Power Sports. And our guest in this segment, Greg Doyle, is brought to you by the great people at Coffee Crossing. Coffee Crossing would like to invite everyone to visit their newest location, which is located in downtown New Albany. Their old bakery is now the newest Coffee Crossing location. It's located at 140 East Main Street. It's the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing, with us right now. And Greg, I tell you what, it's a busy time, lots of basketball. We still talk some high school sports too. Obviously, Indiana's basketball schedule has been very hot right now, lots of games coming at a quick pace. IU football had a bye week. We talked a lot about Michael Penix and him going out for the season, but I probably haven't given the attention, the credit, the homage that it deserves to Indiana being nationally ranked both in the AP and the coaches poll, and how big of a deal it is for this Indiana program and for Coach Allen and his troops to accomplish that at this point of the season.
Yeah, it's a big deal in a small way, and this won't feel small to the fans, but in a small way, it's a big deal for the fans to go, wow, look at us, this is great. And that is a big deal, but it's not the biggest deal. The biggest deal is that Tom Allen has built this program, gotten it where it is with great recruiting, and the coaching's fine. I'm not saying that, but you can't get from where they were to where they are now with adding really good players, and we see those players, and he's done that with really nothing to sell but hope, and he's pulled it off. But now he's got the same hope, the same passion he's always had on the recruiting trail that works. Only now he can then show them, look what happened. Look what this is reality. This isn't hope anymore. This is reality. And I'm really curious to see what his recruiting class for next year is going to look like. And I know it's getting kind of late in the game, but there's, you know, a lot of kids will be flip-flopped in February and all that. So I think, I mean, as far as recruiting goes, which is the lifeblood of any college football program, and certainly the one he's built, this is enormous.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Along the lines of football, the team sits at 7-2, and I'm going to ask you about Penn State and the game coming up this weekend here in a moment. But generally, obviously, goal number one, make a bowl game, and that's going to be big for Indiana's fan base and for what you just mentioned, for recruiting coming up after the season as well. But if Indiana could somehow, and I don't know if it happens at Penn State this weekend. I'm not sure if it happens at home, even against Michigan on November 23rd, but it should happen at Purdue, given the injuries and the type of season that they've had. If Indiana can get to 8 wins in the regular season, if they can get to a solid bowl game, be competitive there, maybe win the bowl game, maybe not, but not get embarrassed, and be nationally ranked and all the other things that have helped and went right for with this team, and given some players they have coming back as well, can you imagine even a more successful season and a better resume builder for not just Coach Allen and his future at Indiana or in college football, but for this program?
No, and not realistically, you know. I mean, I guess anybody could have said, yeah, they can go 13-0. I mean, we could have said that, but that'd have been, you'd have laughed at that. I think some people would have laughed at 7-2 and ranked 24th or wherever they are right now. I mean, I think some people back in August, I might have been one of them, would have said, well, that's not, you know, let's be realistic here. They're building, Tom's recruiting good players, but let's not set the bar so high that they can't help but fail. I mean, 7-2, number 24 in the country, that's crazy. I believe I saw somewhere that IU had the longest drought among Power Five, so that's what, 65 or so of the biggest, the 65 or so, the longest drought between rankings in the country. Nobody had gone more consecutive weeks, months, years than IU without being ranked. So that's gone. So, I mean, this has already exceeded all expectations. So now you're talking about not just putting the cherry on top. I mean, the cherry was on top at number 24. That's the cherry. Now you're talking about adding some whipped cream and sprinkles. And you know, Penn State on the road, you don't know how the psychology of this stuff works. Obviously, they thought they were playing for a national championship, and that's probably gone now with that loss to Minnesota. So you don't know if they're going to come out angry and determined to, you know, get it all back in one game and try to win 75-0. You don't know if that's going to happen, or you don't know if they're going to come out kind of crushed, like, oh, crap, we had all these dreams, and now all we can do is something different. So you don't know if Minnesota's going to, I'm sorry, Penn State will be a hard one to win, I mean, or an easier one to win. But that Michigan game, I mean, it's kind of hard to believe I'm saying this, but Michigan's coming to Memorial Stadium, and they can win that game. I'm not, you know, let's not set the bar too high that they ought to, but they can.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Does your excitement or your thoughts on IU football the rest of the way in the regular season and even into the bowl game change at all, knowing Michael Penix is out for the season? I know he's missed some time already before this happened, and Peyton Ramsey was A-OK coming in for a game or coming in the second half or whenever needed and did just fine. But any excitement lost the rest of the way or concern without him available at all?
Not really, because it's not like they stacked all these wins with him and now they're, well, let's see what they can do with Ramsey. We know what they can do with Ramsey. They've done this as much with Ramsey as with Penix, really. And I don't have the games in front of me, perhaps more with Ramsey than Penix. And Penix, while yes, he's a better talent, and his ceiling is certainly higher, I don't think IU won any games that otherwise they couldn't have won because of Penix. You know, they haven't, to be fair to the truth here, they've won all the games they probably should have won. They have, and that's a big, big step for a school like IU or for Purdue or for somebody trying to rise. You've got to win the games you can, and they've done all that. But Penix, they haven't beaten anybody they can't beat, but they did it because of Penix. You know, that hadn't happened yet. So, no, the only reason, I mean, I feel bad for him, for Michael, but the only reason to kind of look at the rest of the season sideways just a little bit is, well, what if Ramsey gets hurt? I mean, there is that, but that's just so negative, I wouldn't even want to think about that. So, no, I their ceiling is what it is, whether it's Penix or Ramsey, based on what I've seen so far.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment each week brought to you by Coffee Crossing, who just opened their fifth location in downtown New Albany. Greg, I want to talk some IU basketball. Easy schedule, low mid-major Division I teams make up the month of November. We talked some about maybe why that could work in Indiana's favor down the road once they get to the real deal in December with big non-conference games and obviously two early Big Ten season games. But that said, I think there's some excitement about Indiana. I think there have been some good things shown despite Devontae Green being out, despite some other injuries where players have had to miss some or all of games. I sense this of Archie Miller, he's been pretty direct after the game Saturday talking about it in his press conference, and I know he spent some time on it last night in his coach's show on the radio, but defense once again has already popped up as a big concern for this team.
Well, maybe. I mean, what's popped up already is Archie Miller's putting the word out that you guys got to work harder, and he's just trying to get this team better. I think the danger in when he says what he says, he was saying that for his players, and obviously he's telling them that behind closed doors too, but he's saying that publicly so they see how serious it is, so maybe they feel embarrassed about it, about wanting to work harder, and maybe Archie thinks that kids on campus or friends or whatever will bug the players about playing better defense. And so the danger for us is to hear what Archie says and take it too far. We haven't seen enough to say this is a major concern. All we know is Archie's coaching his team up in any way he possibly can, including publicly, you know, through the media and the radio show. So I'm not terribly concerned about that yet. I wouldn't be. They're still a young team. They're going to get better. That's what this really bad schedule is for. Fennessy is still kind of getting his feet underneath him, and the whole defense starts with him. So I just can't wring my hands over this. Not yet.
Talking with Greg Doyle, IU basketball. North Alabama tonight at 7 o'clock for Indiana. We'll have the broadcast with Don Fisher here on the Big X. And then it's Troy, and then it's Princeton, and then it's Louisiana Tech, and then South Dakota State. That wraps up the month of November. And then it gets real. Florida State, Wisconsin, UConn, Nebraska, Notre Dame, Arkansas, Maryland. That's just a skip ahead in the next month once you get through the upcoming 15, 18 or so days that remain in the month of November. I think if there's any concern about defense or any concern about a lack of something on Indiana's roster, we're going to have a much better read and know for sure after the first couple games in December.
Yeah, exactly right. That's why right now after, two games, it's just I can't go there. But what I can do is I was at the IU game last week when they beat the crap out of somebody, Western Illinois, I guess it was. And I saw a couple things that I thought, okay, all right. The improvement of Justin Smith was kind of an okay, all right. I mean, he's playing the three now. That front court's massive. And maybe you could say he's playing the three, I guess you could say, and that's the starting lineup because Devontae's out, and so maybe they slide one of their guards and make him a really small forward. Justin's the four, and Tracy's the five, and Brunk's off the bench. Maybe that's what happens, but that front court's enormous. That's an NBA-sized front court, and they're going to have the best two athletes on the court a lot of the time, and certainly they're going to have two athletes on the court that can compete with anybody above the rim, and Smith and Trace Jackson Davis, and that's not what they had last year. You know, Justin was that kind of athlete. They didn't have two of them, and Trace Jackson Davis. I mean, I keep play by play. I'm old school. I write down every score, and if I think something happened in that play, whether a guy, you know, saves ball out of bounds or a great no look pass, whatever, I'll write down a few words just to remind myself later when I'm describing the game. Here's what you saw, because I can't remember 2 hours without some help. So I keep scoring, I keep notes, and I started keeping these notes while I'm watching Trace Jackson Davis. You know, somebody Fennessy or somebody would have the ball in his hands and take a shot or do something, and Trace Jackson Davis is always rolling to the rim, pointing at it. I mean, I don't mean like twice. I mean, every time they got in the half-court set, he would lock eyes with whoever had the ball, spin to the rim, and point. Like, he wanted a lob every damn time, and he never got one, actually. But I'm not bringing that up to complain about it. I just think it's hilarious that guy wants to dunk on everybody, every possession. I mean, and that's what he did in high school. It's what he did in All-Star games. And I've told you this before, that guys like Trace Jackson Davis, they all have a ceiling, but some of their ceilings is the NBA. Some guys can just dunk on everybody until they get to the league, and then a handful of people, and he won't be one of them, but a handful of people, like, you know, Dwight Howard or whatever, they dunk on Rudy Gobert. They dunk on everybody there too. But a lot of guys get to the league by dunking on everybody at this level. We will see if Trace is that kind of guy that can dunk on this level like he did in high school. But he certainly thinks he can so far.
Yeah, and I think, as we all have agreed, lots of reason now that Trace is officially at Indiana. We've seen him even a couple of these cupcake-level games or cupcake-type games lots of reason to be excited about what his potential is at Indiana, and I think you can even see, and we've heard that from Archie Miller as well. Greg, I've got to ask you about something a little off the cuff. I've been in a lot of press boxes over the years, and I know one of the things that gets everybody excited is, oh, this press box, they provide a great pregame or postgame meal or great snacks or whatever. And just scrolling through Twitter, I think it was Sunday night, getting ready for Monday's show, I see that you've tweeted out a picture of cake. I think it was chocolate cake. And I thought, what does Greg Doyle look like? You were at the Colts game. I think I could even see the field through the window. What's Greg Doyle tweeting about a piece of cake for at the Colts game? And so I had to read it. I had to bring it up and stop scrolling through my phone. And you ate a piece of random cake that you found in the press box. And if anyone has followed you closely on social media, I don't think this is the first time that you've ate a random piece of food. And then on top of that, I see this morning that now you've been asked or you've recorded a podcast about some of your press box finds, which I've got to add to my listen list for podcasts here. But maybe you could tell us a little bit more about the cake you found in this podcast. I think people will find it very funny.
Well, that podcast wasn't my idea. It's not like I was looking around, let's talk about how I eat. Somebody else noticed it and decided it was disgusting and said, we got to talk to you about that. It's a food podcast, and they wanted to have me on there, talk about the way I eat garbage. And what you left out about that piece of cake that I ate was, not only was it found cake, I found it, it was already eaten by somebody else. It was a piece. Yeah, I tried, it's a very dark piece of cake on a dark plate. So I don't know if you could tell, but one side of the cake, a fork had dug into a few times. But the other side of the cake was pristine, right? I mean, pristine. And so I found a fork, and I hope the fork I found was clean because it was lying around there too. But I found a fork and took a few bites from the other side. So I took a before and after picture. Like, here's how I found it, you know, with already a forkful missing. And here's how it looks now after I've eaten some. And that's what I do all the time, whether I'm showing off, not showing off, that's the wrong word, whether I'm outing myself as disgusting or not. When you're in a press box and it's getting late, and plus I'm in a good mood, I've just written a story, I filed it, I'm ready, I'm happy, and then there's something like a piece of pizza, like I got to eat it. What I do, the worst thing I do that people really go nuts over, but I don't understand why, what's wrong with all of you people, is that when I'm cover a late Colts game, night game, you get back to the hotel, it's 1 a.m., and I'm hungry, but I'm also cheap, I'm not about to go buy some food at 1 a.m., but it's 1 a.m., I'm walking to my room in a nice hotel, and all these people that have ordered room service have put their leftovers out in the hall, you know? and it's covered up. You know how a nice hotel looks? It's like a big silver platter over the plate. And so you don't know what's under there, but I always find out. I always lift up the platter and see, and if there's like a complete chicken tender untouched or if there's a piece of pizza untouched, the best of all is when you walk by someone's room and they've ordered like Papa John's and there's a box of Papa John's outside their room, and there's three pieces left, and they're just throwing it away. I'll take those three pieces and eat them right now. That's what I do.
Greg Doyle, my goodness.
It's a smorgasbord, so I'm telling you. The hotel at 1 a.m. is my smorgasbord.
Oh, my gosh, Greg Doyle. I didn't know we were going to go that far with it. That is amazing. I got to tell you, I think I was scrolling pretty quick. You're right. It was a piece of dark chocolate cake on a black-colored plate. I did not realize that there had been a fork in that or bites taken out of that. I thought you just maybe found it and had been sitting around for a while after the game as you were busy. Because we've talked about this before too. I've enjoyed, as creepy as this might sound, I've watched you in press boxes before. And the Romeo day, it was one of the most interesting things when he made his signing. I've watched how you work. I mean, you were like literally, you got there early. You walked behind the stage, behind the backdrop. I've always said Greg Doyle's a very interesting guy in many ways. However, the food side of it, you've taken to a whole new level today.
Yeah, I know we got to go real quick, but when I check into a hotel, if it's a fairly nice one, we don't stay in great ones, but if it's a fairly nice one, the kind that might have hotel meeting rooms, before I go to my room, I always find the meeting rooms and walk through them because maybe the Kiwanis Club just left that morning and there's a few donuts flying around.
Greg Doyle, okay, great. Great insight on your food habits, man. I'm not sure that I'll look at you the same. But
my drinking habits, though, are the same. Give me some dark chocolate coffee from Coffee Crossing, and I'm ready to go, baby.
You're a superstar. Greg Doyle, thank you so much for the time, as always.
All right. Yeah, Matt, thanks.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, the segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget their fifth location now open in downtown New Albany. Make sure you check him out when you're down in New Albany. And Douglas Wolverton has been with me as a producer of all of our high school stuff and all of our play-by-play in this show for every day that we've been on the air. And Doug's a sports guy. I don't think he's a major sports guy, but he doesn't really look through the glass and have many reactions. If there's a technical problem or we lose somebody, we obviously have to make eye contact and figure something out while I'm sitting here live on the radio. But I literally heard Doug with the door closed and through the window grunt and put his hands on his head thinking, my gosh, this is gross. Interesting story from Greg Doyle on random food in the press box. Don't forget, the Hoosier Report is now presented by CC Power Sports. Every child's dream is a new dirt bike for Christmas at CC Power Sports. They're helping make that dream easier with free Christmas layaway and storage now through Christmas. Simply put down a deposit, pay as you wish until December 21st. CC Power Sports will even store your purchase to help keep the dreams of Christmas alive and the bike out of sight. You can find more at ccpowersports.com. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pigs.com and talk IU basketball, talk the game tonight against North Alabama. We'll talk Dawson Garcia's recruitment and maybe some IU football as well. That's I tell you, we're in the middle of November and talking as much IU football. Even the year that a few years back when Indiana went to a bowl game, Indiana's still winning. There's still opportunities for success. We're talking a lot of IU football here at this time of year. We may do some of that next with Mike as well. We'll be back after this. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pigs.com is with us. We always talk IU basketball and football with Mike on Tuesdays in this segment. And, Mike, we are headed into another IU basketball game tonight. The Hoosiers host North Alabama. I mentioned a little bit about the transitioning to Division I, not a very good offensive team last season, and a little bit about their personnel at the start of the show, but maybe compare North Alabama to Portland State or to Western Illinois. What type of opponent do you see? What type of style of play do you see from this opponent coming into Assembly Hall tonight?
Well, I'd be closer to Portland State in terms of their approach. They play up tempo. I think they're top 50 in the country right now in forcing turnovers, so that's something to watch. Portland State was a pressing team, though. In the end, I thought did a really good job against the press. I think they had around 10 turnovers or something like that, which is a good early sign for you know, a backcourt that doesn't have a lot of depth and playing without Devontae Green right now. So, you know, it's a weak team. It may be the weakest team on the entire schedule. You know, it's good to have those kind of games right off the bat, especially when you're, you know, limited in numbers with Devontae out. You know, and I think things from here get a little bit better with opponents. There's a kind of a ramp up after this game. So, you know, just good experience for some of the young guys, and we'll see how they handle the pressure.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. You mentioned Devontae Green. He's on my list for you today. Hamstring injury. He's been out. I'm not sure that there's ever been any kind of timetable or date associated with when he could possibly return. What have you heard? Any feeling, if you haven't heard anything, on when he might make an entry into this lineup this season?
Well, hamstring is just kind of one of those injuries you just can't put a timetable on. You can aggravate it so easily because you have to use your hamstring anytime you walk or move. I've seen Devontae some a few days ago. He's walking around fine. But Archie said after this Portland State game on Saturday that he would probably be doubtful for tonight. He has to come back to practice and do some things before they'll play him in a game. You know, I would think it wouldn't go another more than another week or two. but I wouldn't expect them tonight. You know, I think the schedule gets a little bit tougher when Louisiana Tech and Princeton, I think Princeton is next Wednesday, is a little bit of a ramp up in the level. And then Louisiana Tech is actually a pretty good team later this month. And I'd like to have them back for those two games.
Yeah, Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, talking IU's game tonight against North Alabama. Tip-off at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage with Don Fisher begins here on the Big X in the 6 o'clock hour. So make sure you tune in for that. Back to Saturday for just a moment. You know, some people concerned about the defensive performance of the team. It was an 11-point victory for Indiana, probably a little closer than you'd like to see one of these early season matchups against a low-level Division I program. We talked some in the last segment with Greg Doyle about some of Archie Miller's comments on defensive problems, and he's been pretty damning about the importance of getting some of this figured out. Where do you see, I know it's early, but where do you see Indiana's defense at and the problems that we've seen maybe in that game on Saturday? What do you see out there that Indiana needs to improve, needs to, in some of these November games, take some steps forward in improving each and every time out?
Well, they're playing some young guys out there. Chris Jackson Davis has never played college basketball before. Armin Franklin's had to play a lot of minutes, and he's never played before. Race Thompson is finally playing significant minutes. These guys haven't, had to learn how to play help defense properly and when to make decisions, make decisions on switches at this level. I think they have to kind of work through some growing things in that area. But there's a lot of potential, though, for this team to be good defensively. I think also Rob Phinisee hasn't played a lot of minutes, and he's arguably the best defensive player on the team. And Devontae Green's actually a pretty good defender, so him not being on the court makes him not as tough defensively. I think it's just an early season thing, Matt, but you hope it's an early season thing, because Archie spoke to us in the fall earlier before the season started. He thought this team had the makings of a pretty good defensive team. And the tools are there on this team, so they have to get better at it, because they're not going to be a high scoring team. They don't have a lot of guys who can really score easily. So it's kind of the thing to watch as we move forward through the first month or two of the season, if we get better at that part of the game.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, IU basketball, the topic. I want to get to football for a moment, but before I do so, I've got to ask about Dawson Garcia. He's really the last big name left, and it's getting pretty late in the 2020 class of current seniors. High school basketball in most states has either begun or is about to begin one way or the other with practices and games. He took his senior season official. Looks like it's going to be his last visit of any kind over the weekend to Marquette. And I think a lot of IU fans, a lot of Marquette fans, maybe some Memphis fans and others kind of waiting on this one to see what the big man from Minnesota decides. Has there been any indication of when a decision might be made? And has there been any buzz since his visit to Marquette, whether they were able to maybe steal some of the thunder that it seemed Indiana was able to gain when they had him on campus a few weeks back?
My guess is that, and this is kind of a partially what we've heard, just partially common sense, that he will decide very late in the window that you have to sign, which begins tomorrow and runs through next Wednesday night, the 20th. So I guess I'm saying that expectation would be he would sign no later than this weekend coming up, or no earlier than this weekend coming up, and maybe up through Wednesday, but probably will sign, and I want to sign to get it over with, so he has no worries about that during the final season of high school. But it's close. Indiana, Marquette's visit went really well, and you might expect, and there's people thinking that Marquette's going to land, and people thinking Indiana's going to land him. It's really really close between those two. There's some confidence in Memphis camp, but our information suggests that it's really going to come down to Indiana Marquette.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Let's get into IU football for a few moments before we let you go. Tough game coming up at Penn State. I know Penn State lost to Minnesota on Saturday, so that makes you wonder, what type of Penn State team will Indiana get? But we do know a tough environment, a tough place to play. And I think a good challenge for this 7-win Indiana team to see what they're made of and to see how they can bounce back from news that Michael Penix is out the rest of the way. And Peyton Ramsey's been really good. At times he's been called in, whether that be for an entire game or whether that be for a portion of the game when Penix went out. So I think this is a good challenge for Indiana, win or lose. It can help them the rest of the way, including the bowl game down the line.
Yeah, I mean, how good is Indiana? I mean, 7 wins has been, you know, unprecedented for this program, but none of those 7 wins are over a team that's definitely going places. So this will be a chance to kind of prove themselves in that regard on Saturday. And it's tough because Penn State's going to be hurting from that Minnesota loss, and they're going to be ready to go, you one would think. They hammered Indiana in the first quarter 2 years ago. I think they're up 28-0 after the first quarter. Of course, they had Saquon Barkley and just kind of, you know, he scored on the opening kickoff, and it was off to the races. And I asked Tom Allen yesterday at the press conference, I mean, he's going to bring that up, and he said no. I'm sure they'll see this press conference now and you ask him the question. But he definitely did not want that in their mindset of what happened years ago, you know, at Penn State. You know, Penn State has a pretty good team. I mean, they were not in the country. So I think it's really important for Indiana to hang in there in the first half. Maybe things will happen in the second half because they have gotten better as the game goes along, and they have the number 2 offense in the Big Ten right now behind Ohio State.
And it looks like from a bowl game perspective, obviously, with each win, Indiana could find a way to get the rest of the way. It could greatly help the bowl game standing and maybe the quality of the game. But it does look like, I've seen some different projections out there looking at a lot of different Big Ten scenarios, it does look like there's a fair chance for this Indiana team maybe to get a Florida bowl game, which would not probably be enjoyed by fans and the team, but maybe be an opportunity to take the good word about IU football right now down south, where Coach Allen has had some success and has connections, to see if he can bolster recruiting efforts down there a little bit more in addition to playing in a bowl game.
Yeah, I honestly think there's a better chance that they'll get going, they'll get down to Florida than the media is projecting right now. But they'd probably need at least one more victory. But they have such a strong alumni base in Florida. So many people from Indiana retire down there, move down there, have family down there, that I think Hoosiers would travel in a good amount. I think the bowl people down there understand that. You know, I think they would travel really well to the Nashville Music City Bowl, but it's not really supposed to be a Big Ten year, but it could work out that way if – couple SEC teams make the college football playoff and their numbers are down from what to choose from, and that would be a good solution. But I don't think, honestly, Indiana fans want to go off to California, even though the weather's good there, and obviously don't want to go to Detroit. And I've done the Pinstripe Bowl recently, and that's not warm weather. So, yeah, Florida is the desired place.
Mike Pegram, Beegs.com. He's always with us Tuesdays, and you can find all sorts of insight about this IU basketball team as they get ready for North Alabama tonight, and of course IU football at the Pegs.com website. If you're not a subscriber and you're an IU fanatic, it's the place to be, the place to talk and chat and on the message boards. And of course Mike and Jeff and Matt Weaver have all sorts of coverage for you each day. Mike, greatly appreciate your time each Tuesday. Enjoyed the chat on basketball and football.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Fun time of year.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us always on Tuesdays. Just a reminder that Mondays on the program, we announce our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sardano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. And our winner yesterday was Nan Garcia, girls basketball standout for the Lady Red Devils at Jeffersonville. Her 37-point performance, and she did it in just 18 minutes on Friday night in Jeffersonville's big win over North Harrison, helped her claim the award this week. And she's the first winner of the award this season from the girls basketball side of things after the award was dominated by football for most of the season up to this point. But congratulations to Nan Garcia. You'll hear announcements throughout our program and all of our programming here on the Big X that recognize her achievement as the Big X Athlete of the Week presented by Serdano's. And she also receives a free 14-inch pizza from Serdano's in Sellersburg. So congratulations to her. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. A couple notes to pass along before we get out of here today. Don't forget you can podcast us. If you miss the live show, it is replayed most days at 3 p.m. here on the Big X. But if you miss that or you just can't make that, SoundCloud and Apple Podcast are two easy ways to stay up with our show. You can find us at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Or you can search for us in Apple Podcast. Just type in the Hoosier Report. We'll pop up. You can subscribe for free. Leave us a positive rating if you would. That would be great. A nice review would help as well to connect with other IU and Southern Indiana sports fans that might be interested in this show. And you can listen to us essentially on demand whenever you want. We're glad to have you with us each and every day. Also, Thursday, another plug for our high school basketball media day, 6 to 9 at Zaxby's in New Albany, right by I-265 and Charlestown Road at that intersection. We'll have all 12 high school basketball coaches from Clark and Floyd counties. We've asked each coach to bring key players for this season. We'll tell you later in the week more of the names that are going to join us, but we're expecting to have the best of the best as we get ready for what should just be an absolute fantastic season of high school hoops in our area. So make plans to come out and support your team Thursday night, or just to take in lots of coaches and preview the whole area, whether it's live at Zaxby's in New Albany or on the radio listening. We'd love to have you with us. That's going to wrap things up for Tuesday. Thanks so much for being with us. IU tonight at 7, pregame at 6 here on the Big X. I'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock to recap everything. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.